Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Lap Down podcast. I am your host, Greg Farmer, and with me tonight is JP, Valentino, and Tyler. How are you guys doing tonight?
Very good. Thank you, man.
Tyler,
be better. A little sick, but
yeah, I was going to say, how you doing? I know you're under the weather, man.
I got the flu, but I think I'll be all right. Got some medicine. I think we'll get through this.
I hope you get to feeling better soon. The flu ain't no joke, man.
Yeah, it could kill people.
As always, thank you to the Alkali Project for the intro song. Please be sure to check out the album The Blood World on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your music and podcast. All right, gentlemen, we are 2 days removed from Talladega. And I have to say, I had a fantastic time at Talladega on Sunday. All week long last week, I was watching the weather like a hawk. And it kept saying, you know, 90%, 100% chance of rain. And I was thinking, there's no way they're going to get this race in on Sunday. It was going to be a Monday race. And lo and behold, we get there Sunday morning after all the rain came and cleared out. And it actually turned out to be a beautiful day, sunshine. It got up into about the mid-60s. It was an awesome day.
Sounds like the Daytona 500. That's how it was when I went.
Oh, yeah. I got to meet Alex Bowman at the Ally Racing display. And he gave autographs to me and my wife on our hats. And those hats, the one that I usually wear on this podcast, is now retired. It is hanging on my living room wall.
Fantastic. That's awesome, man. He's a great guy.
Yeah. But, oh, he is. He is. But, yeah, we're just going to jump right into it. We'll start with the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. Jesse Love. Richard Childress Racing got his first career win, somehow stretched his fuel tank 54 laps and survived two green-white checkers to collect that first win. They kept saying on the broadcast that the fuel window was only 40 to 45 laps, so he literally stretched the fuel like 10 laps. Now, I know you can, you know, save some fuel under caution. But how in the world did he save that much fuel and not run out? Valentino?
I have no clue, man. I mean, there wasn't very many cautions.
I was actually intensely watching the race, but doing something that I usually don't do. Felt like doing, sick of dying for a couple weeks, but I got leaky and didn't do it. I was screaming and giving my 2 cents as the race was happening, like Ryan does. And I just remember seeing that Jesse Love won the race and tongued up after I shut off my screen because, you know, we can't have copyrighted material on YouTube.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
I think, but like, yeah, Jesse Love, man. I mean, like I said, it's cool that he won his first race. I really would have liked to see Parker Kligerman get in. Unfortunately, he got involved in an accident just before. And I think that, you know, just the accidents building up got Jesse Love the opportunity to, you know, cut the car off and you know, just use the clutch and turn the car back on whenever he wants to save the gas that he needed. And or maybe the team had a little extra gas somewhere in the car that we don't know about, but I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to think he stretched it for 54 laps and then did his burnout and then got back in the car and started it up and drove it to victory lane. And we're sitting here thinking, like, you know, how much gas is actually in the car?
Yeah. And I mean,
well, they give it a little bit of fuel after the race to make sure they get it to victory lane.
Well, I never saw a team member come out there to put fuel in it. There was a push truck behind his car just in case he couldn't get it started, and they were going to push him to victory lane, but he fired it right up and got it to victory lane.
Congratulations to Jesse Love, man, for his first win, though. I know he's happy. Yeah. His family is happy. ARCA, he was very, he's very good in the ARCA series. And in the Xfinity series, he came up. He's been very consistent.
He's been barely on it this year.
Yeah, consistent this year. Not to say that RCR probably has the best motors in the Xfinity series right now, except for JR Motorsports. You know, so,
yeah.
You know, great part, great equipment, great driver, young driver coming out of ARCA Series. He has a long, journey ahead of him. So.
Yeah. He was actually the guest on Door Bumper Clear this week, and I listened to that today. And he was talking about this win, and he was like, you know, he felt like he had, like, so much pressure on him. You know, coming out of the ARCA series, jumping the truck series and going straight into the Xfinity series and with probably one of the best teams in the Xfinity series. And he said he felt like, you know, the pressure of getting that win was like so like mountainous for him. And now that he got it, he said he feels a lot more comfortable being on track. And now he can just go out and, you know, not really do whatever, but like race more freely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we're at a point in the year, it's still early to be talking playoffs, but I'm sure.
I think that.
That one had to feel a sense of relief. I mean, we're what?
Yeah, exactly. Even that.
10 weeks in. 10, 11 weeks in.
Even that, getting your first win out of your pocket. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got that first win. You're like, okay, I know how to do it now. I know what I got to do. Like the, you know, conserving this and that the right way. And I figured it out. Now I can go do it again.
But it helps that he got experience on top of that pit box.
Oh yeah, exactly. For sure.
Yeah. Tyler, do you have any opinions or thoughts?
I was impressed how Jesse Love saved that much fuel. Like, that was actually a not bad race. I personally said, like I said, that whole race wasn't bad. The whole weekend was like a good weekend.
Yeah. It was.
I like Talladega, I always have.
Yeah. So, like, one big thing that happened during the race, on the last lap of stage one, Justin Allgaier got turned out of the pack on the backstretch and went down and absolutely just murdered the inside wall right where it juts out at an angle where the safety trucks come out. And he hit that wall so hard that at the angle of which he turned after he ricocheted off the wall, I thought that car was going to end up upside down.
Yeah, he hit it quite hard.
Yeah, but like the biggest thing is like the moment that car stopped like moving, the window net was down. And, you know, we all know that when they put the window net down, that's their sign to the safety teams that they're okay. And I just have to sit there and thank NASCAR for the safety innovations, not only for the cars, but like the tracks. You know, there never used to be safer barrier right there on that wall. And I've seen some massive hits off that wall, like right where he hit too. I think,
Eric McClure, Danica Patrick,
not Eric Jones. Sorry.
Yeah. There was one, a few years ago, Xfinity series, number 25, I think it was Chris Cockrum. Yeah, that yep. wall.
Yeah,
all four tires come up off the ground, and he spun around probably like 10 times before the car finally stopped and just got out and walked away like nothing happened. So, you know, big props to NASCAR for the safety. The one of the big things that stuck out to me about that Xfinity Series race was that final restart. They were coming off of turn four, and Brennan Poole had this massive run coming off of turn four. He was being pushed by Anthony Alfredo, and you know, Brennan Poole was looking for redemption from 2017 when, you know, he should have got his first career win, but they gave it to Elliott Sadler. And like he had the lead coming off of turn four, and then all of a sudden Anthony Alfredo just jumped to the outside to make the pass, and all of that momentum got killed, and Jesse Love went right back by to take the checkered flag. So my question to you guys on that is, was that the right move, or should Anthony Alfredo have stayed tucked in behind Brennan Poole and waited just a little bit longer to make that move?
In my opinion, I think it's Talladega. Okay, everybody's going to want to try to win, but yes, that was probably the stupidest move he probably could have done. Sorry to say, but it gave Jesse Love the momentum he needed on the bottom, and I even said it as I was screaming, and don't get me wrong, I am happy for Jesse Love, but Brennan Poole needs some redemption, as you spoke about back in 17 when Elliott Sadler got the win. And could NASCAR be decided to throw the caution? Yeah. I see why they threw the caution that day, but in my eyes, Brennan Poole won that race.
Yeah. Definitely. Valentino, what about you?
Just repeat the question one more time, because I was listening to him and he...
No, you're good. You know, Anthony Alfredo made that move to go like three or four wide coming off of turn four,
yeah,
and it killed all their momentum. Did he make the right move, or should he have stayed behind Brennan Poole and pushed a little bit harder and made that move a little bit further into the tri-oval?
I think so. I think maybe Anthony got a little run and maybe thought he could pass him, and then got beside him and realized, okay, that air is a little bit pushing a little bit harder than I thought it's going to be, than I thought it was going to be, you know? So, yeah, maybe he should have waited just a little bit longer. But I think maybe, as a driver, you're getting that run to the car in front of you, and you're thinking, oh, I got this big run. Maybe I can do something with it. And I don't know. I think it was like close to the last lap. And Anthony just decided, okay, I got this run. I'm going to do something with it. And he just made the wrong decision. And maybe he should have pushed Brennan Poole a little bit up a little bit farther and maybe got in front of the other leader, the other's pack, like the inside line, and maybe tried to control the inside line to get a push from them up in the lead. I don't know what he could have done any different, but I think he was just trying to do something with his run.
Yeah. What about you, Tyler?
Honestly, I don't think he could have done anything different. It's the last lap. You're gonna do what you do. I personally think he should have. I think he should have waited a little bit, like a hair longer. But you can't really judge it going 195 miles an hour and tucked in like
no,
that.
No, you can't. I know of some people, me myself, I'm kind of judging that. On NASCAR Heat 5, and it's just
I've done that on iRacing as well.
Yep. All right.
Anthony wants it bad, man.
Oh, yeah. So, going into Sunday, as I mentioned before, we all thought there's no way this race was going to happen on Sunday. The forecast just did not look good, and you know, the good Lord above gave us a helping hand and cleared that rain out.
What happens every other year?
Cleared that rain out, and they started the race on time. But Tyler Reddick in that awesome looking Air Jordan paint scheme.
Yes, sir.
That was an awesome looking scheme.
Yep, he took 23:11 to victory lane. He made it through a massive last lap crash that saw Michael McDowell throw, you know, basically what we've seen, you know, many times over, a bad block, got himself turned, and then chaos ensued, and Tyler never got out of the throttle. He just drove straight through it. And
Days of Thunder it.
Yep, he took the win. Corey LaJoie got up against the wall in that wreck, and his teammate got turned, Carson Hocevar, and went straight up into him. And the momentum from Carson's car wedged Corey's car up against the wall, and he ended up getting up on his side, kind of upside down. And he rode the wall all the way through the tri-oval, past the start-finish line, and when it came off the wall, he barrel-rolled one time and landed back on his wheels. And that continues the streak from Seth Eggert on Twitter. He's like the stat guy for like everything NASCAR. Corey LaJoie's flip continued a streak of at least one flip in the Cup Series every year dating back to 2007 when Clint Bowyer was upside down at the end of the Daytona 500.
That is true. I didn't think about that. That is true. At Talladega, yep, too.
So 17 years in a row, we've seen at least one Cup car get upside down at some track. But
that's a scary statistic.
And they've tried to make the cars to the roof flaps are meant to prevent that too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what got Corey up on his side was just, like, was, if you go back and watch different angles, it was just the momentum of Carson Hocevar coming back up the track and hitting him. And if you notice too, Josh Berry was up in the air too. He almost went over as well because he was literally on top of LaJoie's car that was halfway upside down.
Oh, I was actually speaking of the wreck. Actually, do you notice how the block, how Michael McDowell blocked? Look back, take a gander back to 2009. Last lap of the 2009 Coke Zero 400. Coming down to the checkered flag. Guess who made an awful block same way that Michael McDowell did, and same result?
Kyle Busch and Tony Stewart.
Yep. But I think McDowell's wreck was not as violent.
Yeah. I mean, you could also say the same about the 2020 Daytona 500, too, when, you know, Newman got turned by Blaney. He was, you know, trying to block Blaney, and it was just, you know, one block too much and got himself turned, and you know, it almost cost him more than a race car.
Almost cost him his life.
Yep. But one of the biggest stories coming out of Talladega, on the final set of green flag pit stops, the Toyotas decided to pit for fuel, and they all came out together, and they were running in a single file line, and they were actually running faster than the pack. And not really sure exactly what happened. A lot of people are saying that John Hunter Nemechek had a run, and he was shoving Bubba Wallace, and then Bubba Wallace started shoving Eric Jones. But pretty much every Toyota except for Tyler Reddick and Martin Truex Jr. wrecked going into turn three, but Eric Jones had the hardest hit. He sailed up into the outside wall at about 190 miles an hour. And he was complaining about his back, and he went to the infield care center where they just do basic checks. They don't really check for like major injuries and stuff. And we were all kind of, you know, holding our breath because it was starting to, you know, flutter through the crowd that, you know, Eric might be hurt. And then he came out. They showed it on the big screens that he was doing an interview. And we're thinking, well, okay, you know, he's okay. And then right after the race, I got a notification saying that he had gone to Birmingham Hospital for further evaluation. And then Sunday night, they said that he had returned home to North Carolina, but no updates. Well, it was announced today that he suffered a compression fracture in his lower vertebrae. And he will be out of the car this weekend at Dover. And Corey Heim will take over the 43. There's no word on his return. There was an update that he posted saying that he was going to take it week by week. But based on recent injuries with back injuries, Denny Hamlin, Eric Almirola, Alex Bowman, I would probably guess we're looking at a minimum of 5 weeks out of the car.
Yeah,
for sure. Definitely.
Just to make sure.
Back problems aren't a joke, man.
Yep. So a question that I have for you guys on this, was this just like a freak thing, like a momentum based thing based on the angle that he hit the wall and stuff like that? Or does NASCAR need to look into it to see exactly what caused the injury? Val.
I'm honestly going to say, I think that no matter how you change the car, the racing is, people are always going to end up like this. This is what's called the domino effect. Whenever you run into a car and you're pushing the car in front of you, the car behind you comes behind you. You guys are running. Your car's bobble. Maybe one car is a little bit in more than you. Maybe you're on that a little bit farther outside of the car, or like you're a little bit more wide, and like you guys aren't lined up right. Pretty much, it's going to cause a problem. And it always gets people hurt, especially on these big super speedway tracks where they barely lift off the gas at certain points. I mean, this is how Dale went. I mean, it's a horrible situation for the drivers. Obviously, it's very dangerous for the drivers. But I just don't think there's anything that they can do to the cars or anything to change the way that the driving is. You know, this is how it's going to be in any car.
Yeah. Tyler,
I was actually gonna say, I guarantee you, because Dale Earnhardt actually hit at the same angle, like the exact same angle and the exact same speed.
Yeah,
I don't think Eric Jones survives either. I don't think he survives as there's no safer barrier there, or at least he's to be seriously hurt.
Absolutely not. The injuries would be far more worse if there were no safer barriers there.
Even with the Hans device. That's still a concrete wall at 190 miles an hour.
Maybe they need to work on some padding for the seats, though. If the back is a problem, after maybe some different type of seat padding, maybe.
Now, I personally think I do actually like that idea, Val. I was actually thinking more like a tighter belt,
like a Tempur-Pedic seat.
Yeah,
that moves with the body. And like forms to the body over time, and when you get out, it deforms. Like that would be good for the drivers and like impacts and stuff. Maybe they could do something like that with the seat,
or even though it's a race car, have padding in their suit.
Yeah, like back padding, motorcycle drivers, like MotoGP almost, like wear a little bit of back padding. Yeah.
Even F1 drivers have F1 drivers, not all of them, but there is some drivers that have the back padding because a front impact like that is not. I bet a head on collision. I got a nasty concussion because of it.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
it's horrible.
It's No, I mean if you think back to the. You know, the Dale Earnhardt days, you know, like 2001 and stuff, they had, you know, the Hans devices and the full face helmets and stuff, but at that point they were optional. You know, and
up until Blaze Alexander dying too.
And yep, and Dale Earnhardt refused to wear any of it.
Only because he liked to look around the car while he was driving.
Yep, and a lot of drivers called him crazy for it, you know. But, you know, obviously we all know after his death, you know, was when they mandated the Hans devices and closed face helmets and stuff. But see, what
they didn't mandate closed faces until 2003.
But with Dale Earnhardt Sr., man, like the seatbelt had, like the seatbelt had cuts in it and different stuff. Like there is like weird stuff about it.
Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, conspiracy theories about that, and
yeah, my aunt always talked about it because she's a big Dale Earnhardt fan.
Yeah, like we'll probably never ever know exactly what happened in the car. We just know what he died from, which was the basilar skull fracture, where his head pretty much bounced off the steering wheel.
Yeah,
when he hit the wall, but they'll probably never tell us anything. Like, you know,
they had a telemetry like this, like we do today.
You wouldn't believe how many death threats Ken Schrader got after that.
Ken Schrader and Sterling Marlin.
Unbelievable.
But
back to Eric Jones.
JP has been silent. What's your thoughts on the whole Eric Jones thing and what maybe is going to – what's NASCAR's reaction going to be for this?
Well, I was just listening to everybody. Cat and my mom came in, but I really think two things. One, does anybody know if that car's been taken back to the R&D center?
Yep.
Because I do know from talking with Bob Poppers that they take, and I heard this on TV and stuff, I know they take every car back to the R&D center. Now, I got a question for you guys. Do you guys think a new safety thing is going to come out because of this wreck? I mean,
well, that was my question to you guys is, you know, is do you think NASCAR will have a reaction to this injury, and if are they going to do something inside the car to prevent it later on down the road?
Can I just add something?
Sure.
There's a point of being safe, and then there's a point of being too safe.
Yeah.
You can't there's a way to be too safe. At that point, they're just going to just walk around the track if they want at that point.
Yeah.
The sports is dangerous, and they signed up to do the risk. I don't think NASCAR should do really anything about it. It's a freak accident, my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look back at, I think it was 2018, 2019. They were practicing at Talladega, and Jamie McMurray blew a tire on the backstretch and rolled over 7 or 8 times. And NASCAR had literally an instant reaction within like 2 hours. They put this freaking wicker bill on the back of the spoiler to what they thought was going to slow the cars down.
Dude.
And then in happy hour practice later on that day, Ryan Newman goes out and runs a 206-mile-an-hour lap, and we're like, well, they're running faster. You know, like, how did that work out?
The wicker added more downforce, which needs more draft.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They were running, and I was actually watching qualifying. They were running 200-mile-an-hour by themselves.
Yep. But, well, we'll have to wait and see what NASCAR will do, if they do anything, and we all wish Eric Jones a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And,
we'll see you at the track.
Hope to see him back in the car soon. The biggest story out of Talladega was the biggest story coming out of Daytona. Once again, fuel saving on the Super Speedway, because apparently it's impossible to save fuel in these new cars. They started the race double file, and within three laps, they were three wide all the way through the field, which, being there in person, like myself, was very awesome to see. But they were running slower. They were running 40-50% throttle because they were saving fuel. Now, the fuel saving, quote unquote, produces great racing, you know, 2-3 wide racing, passing, you know. But if you paid attention to that final restart after everybody pitted for fuel the last time, they ran wide open and they were running 2x2 all the way through the field, and nobody was passing anybody. I just have to ask, what in the hell are we doing? You know, what's wrong with this freaking Super Speedway package that they got to save fuel like that, but when they get too wide, they cannot pass? Like, what do you guys think can be done to fix that? Could it, like, you know, listening to all the podcasts this week that I listened to, you know, shorten the race length, add more stages, change the stage lengths? Like, what is, in your opinion, the solution? Because I really don't think there is one.
My personal opinion is fixed. Honestly, fix the fuel injection system. Let them burn. Mm-hmm. Make the car have the engine be more efficient. Burn less fuel.
What?
That, like, I know they're V8s. I personally think they should tune the ECU EFI. Turn it to, because they can work with that to tune how much fuel goes into the engine. It's that carburetor. And they can control how much fuel goes into the engine, which, honestly, they should do that for Super Speedways to make them more fuel efficient. So, like, but the thing is once they ride open, you said they didn't pass. That's just because it's dirty air. That's just pure dirty air.
If I'm gonna be honest, I think these cars are they're built to run side by side, and like the drafting is like the side drafting is unbelievable with these new cars.
Oh, it's unbelievable, like, with Gen 6 too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like with these new cars, like you can't really pass, because the car above you will just come down and take your air off your car and just get a run again. So it's so hard to pass.
It's like you're hitting a ball in air.
Right. So, like, you know, look at like the last 10 laps of the race. Ty Gibbs and Corey LaJoy and like six or seven other cars jumped all the way to the outside to try to form a third line, which with the old cars, they would have been able to drive straight to the front with five cars. But the moment they got in that third lane, even with six, seven, eight cars, the momentum just died and they went straight to the back.
Because they're using the cars, they know what they're doing. They're taking the air every chance they can. If you watch NASCAR, they're taking the air off each other's car so they can get an event, take the run off of them. If they have a run, they're gonna come up. They're gonna try to take the air off your car to stop your run. You know, that's the only way that's how you stop people from passing you, really. And that's exactly how. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's how the two car won the Xfinity race, because he side drafted really, really good off the two. Was it Brandon Poole?
Yeah.
And he came off of him and he just had a freaking whole head of steam. Like, if you watch the end, he came really close to him and just side drafted off him and just took it to the sunset. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These cars are unbelievable with the side drafting. The drafting's crazy.
There was one thing that I saw on Twitter that could have been a solution, like short term, Andrew Kurland, who's a producer on the Dale Jr. Download. He said, you shorten the race to 400 miles, which is 150 laps, okay? And you make the stage lengths 40, 40, and 70. Now, Denny Hamlin said that a full fuel run is 40 laps. So you have two full fuel runs in stage one and stage two. So you're running wide open. And then in stage three, you have to pit once for fuel. You probably split it in half at lap 35. And then you're basically running wide open. But if you're running wide open, they're only going to run too wide and nobody's going to be able to pass. So like, that's what I'm trying to get at is like,
if they're
going to sit there and run wide open and actually try to race, how can we make the racing better on the super speedways instead of just two wide parade laps?
I think we're probably going to need to figure out a way to stop the side drafting.
Side drafting's always been a thing. You know, that's.
Yeah, but it's really, really strong on these cars.
They need to take care of that. They need to take as much aerodynamics without making it too not having enough downforce to keep the cars on the track.
Yep.
That's the whole problem.
Well, I mean, go back,
it's great racing, but it's not enough. There's too much downforce. Way too much downforce in speedways.
Yeah, no, you're fine. You're fine. Go back to 2000 Talladega, Dale Earnhardt's last win. He went from 18th to first in six laps. And the only thing that he did to get the lead was side draft. That's all he did. He side drafted every single car he got up to and passed them, right? Now, exactly. Denny Hamlin had a great idea, which I think they really need to go back to. You shorten the size of the spoiler because the spoiler is massive, you know. And then instead of the damn stupid tapered spacers, you just put restrictor plates back on the damn cars for the super speedways. And you would probably get 3 and 4 wide racing again.
Yeah.
Because the restrictor plate would, I mean, the engines are not all the same horsepower. None of the engines are. Unless you're a blue. They may say 670. I would say about 650 to 670 in that range. They're not all 670. And they're not all 408. They're not 475 horsepower like they're supposed to. Some of them are pushing maybe 450 at Daytona and Talladega. Not all the cars that restricted plates. The tapered spacer makes everybody run the exact same horsepower. That's also why they can't pass. Mm-hmm. And a restrictor plate just restricts the flow of the engine. Reducing power, but it's different per car.
Yeah, I think my favorite moment in Talladega history was I think it was 2012, the fall race. They were running 4 wide for like the last 5 laps of the race.
And that huge one where Tony went almost went over.
Yeah, where Tony Stewart threw the bad block on Michael Waltrip and like. 35 of the 37 cars in that pack wrecked, and only 2 or 3 of them made it to the finish line.
I'm still upset about it because that was going to do to your concussion.
Yes, yes. But that up until that wreck, I was on the edge of my seat. Could not take my eyes off of it because it was so incredible to watch them run 4 wide, you know, and making moves and stuff until that wreck happened. Like, I want to go back to that.
2001 Daytona 500 was one of the best races I've ever seen in that era. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was with the COTs.
I'm going to add on to that. Just remember, 2012, they closed the gap on the radiator a little bit, just made the spoiler smaller, and made the water temperature a little bit lower before boiling because of nobody liked the two-car tandem from last year, the year before.
Yeah. Well.
So they couldn't push for as many laps, and they made the cars were to overheat if they were pushing too long.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was great. It was great to see in person and stuff. I'm just, you know, frustrated that, you know, we sat there for the final 30 laps watching parade laps and Michael McDowell throwing blocks left and right to stop the momentum and stuff. But, like, just nobody could race. We'll have to see if NASCAR looks into it and see if they make any changes. But we're going to go into – what's that?
I think they need to make changes for Daytona.
Yeah. Fully.
Yeah, for real. But, figure out some way to – hey, go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. We're going to go into green flags and black flags for, you know – our new listeners, green flags is something or some things that we liked about the race weekend, and our black flags is something that we didn't like. So we'll start with Valentino.
So my green flags, I'm going to have to say, you know, I think Chase Elliott did rather well, and he's doing well in the points, and I think that he's looking up his season from last year. Every week he's going to be – if I can't find a good green flag, I'm going to have to give it up to my boy Chase Elliott for sure. So Chase Elliott's a green flag every week for me. A black flag, I'm just going to have to say – I don't know, just like maybe NASCAR – for me, the black flag would probably be that NASCAR needs to find out – figure out a way to make these races more interesting. Maybe, like you said, shortening the race, doing something along the lines, I don't know, just like, just make the race more interesting. I think it wasn't very interesting, in my opinion, other than, you know, the very end when everybody was like shuffling to try to get to the front, you know, they're actually stepping to the floor and actually racing. So that's my black flag, is that there's a lot of like, gas conservation going on, and I didn't want to see quite that on Sunday after a long day of working. I wanted to see some good racing.
Go ahead, JP. Man. What's yours?
My black flag is the hog which we saw. I mean, you don't hear too often. These cars are pretty safe, but you still are hearing more and more guys getting injured in these cars. So I guess NASCAR needs to look at A. Do they need a safer barrier right now? Better safer barrier? Or B, do they need to do something to the car like we were talking earlier? So I guess that would be my black flag. My green flag goes to two car. I guess he loved, and I guess for the Cup race, my green flag also goes to Ty Reddick for showing his driving skills through that major wreck that Michael Mandel caused.
Okay. What about you, Tyler?
I have a couple. Actually, my green flag in general, honestly, is Jesse Love. My green flag is definitely for Jesse Love and how he saved the fuel. But my also green flag is to NASCAR, despite the compression factor in Eric Jones, the safety of the cars. Because not only did Eric Jones take a nasty hit, Justin Allgaier took a nasty hit, and somewhat walked away, but still, that shows you how much they've improved in the last 20 to 25 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's incredible the fact that us Allgaier can take a hit like that and walk away.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean.
Before you say anything, my black flag is the cup package at Super Speedway. What the hell are you thinking, NASCAR? Why make a package where you have to literally like play with the throttle in the first half of a run? And then literally when they go wide open, they can't go anywhere. What happened to letting them be crazy going 2 and 3 wide? This was 10 years ago. 2, 3 wide at 200 miles an hour. NASCAR's gotten really soft.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'll add on to that real quick. I was listening to Stacking Pennies today, Corey LaJoy's podcast. And you know how they have the digital dashboards in the cars?
Yeah.
Most of the time, or 99% of the time on that digital dashboard, they have their lap times, right? Corey said for Talladega, they changed it. Like, you can change the telemetry inside on the dashboard, like with the SMT data and all that. He said instead of lap times, they put the throttle percentage on there so he could see how much throttle he was running in the pack. And that is just absolutely insane. But,
LaJoy. I'm going to call Corey LaJoy, Lightning McQueen. Corey Lightning McQueen LaJoy riding up the wall like that, man. Good gracious.
I was waiting for the epic jump.
I thought he was going for the piston cup, man.
Man, I told my wife, I said if that wall was a foot shorter, he would have been in the fence.
Oh, yeah. Have found. Oh, his car would have been destroyed.
Yeah. So,
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Tyler.
I was going to say, if that wall was shorter and he got up a little bit more and caught that fence, then one, either taking the fence down and seriously hurt spectators, or just go into the fence and destroy the car.
Yeah.
That is why the fence is as high as it is because of the 09 wreck.
Mm-hmm. I think. Yep. Actually, because of 87, and it was increased a little bit more for 09, after 09. But yeah, go ahead, Greg. What you got for green and black?
So my green flags, the obvious, Jesse Love getting his first win, stretching out the fuel and all that. But, as I stated before, the weather turned out beautiful on Sunday after the rain cleared out. And the fans showed up and showed out. There was that place was packed on Sunday.
Packed with a whole lot of mullets.
Uh-huh. My black flag, credit to NASCAR for getting the track dried in enough time in order for them to start the race on time. But at the same time, I was sitting about, I would say, 10 feet shy of the start-finish line, basically right where the cars come off of pit road. And there were gigantic puddles right there at the exit of pit road on like right at the double yellow line. And everybody on every podcast that I listened to today said that they were weepers. They were not weepers. Those puddles were there when I sat down in my seat. And Corey LaJoy come off pit road on one of his pit stops and got in that water and about busted his ass. He spun around literally right in front of me. And it took him a good 15 to 20 seconds to get the car going. I thought they were going to throw a caution in the middle of, green flag pit stops because I didn't think he was going to be able to get going again because he was just sitting there trying, like lighting up the tires, trying to get going.
Because there was no grip.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's like my big black flag is like, NASCAR, you got to, clean that up because.
Okay, so minus that one, there actually was a weeper on the entrance of it, row, but there I could see what you're
saying. Yeah. Denny Hamlin hit that for coming on the pit road on that very first pit stop. But after the Eric Jones crash, during that caution is when they actually came down with a sweeper truck and cleaned up that puddle coming off of pit road. It took them 150 laps to notice that there was water right there at the exit of pit road after someone had spun out. With oh, them. So man. That's like that's my biggest black flag.
That's a safety thing.
Yeah.
Another NASCAR blunder we could talk about next week.
So, as always, we're going to close the show out. We're heading to Dover this weekend, the Monster Mile. Back on the concrete. Back on the concrete. Big story, Jimmy Johnson will be running this weekend. And, you know, he's the all-time wins leader at Dover. But I do honestly don't see him doing that well because he really hasn't had any time to practice these cars.
He's washed. I'm sorry, but he needs to retire.
But we had our race picks. I picked Brad Keselowski for Talladega, and I am now 2-for-2 on super speedways this year. I won with his second place finish.
Who better second this week?
Let me look at my
Jimmy
data.
Jimmy Johnson wins Dover. I'd be like, what the.
Second place was Mr. Mike with William Byron. And then then Ben placed third with Chase Elliott. And then let's see who got 10 points. Let's see, 10 points. That was you, Tyler, with Josh Berry, even though he finished the race almost upside down. Basically, almost everyone's picks was in that wreck on the last lap. So.
Yeah, you ain't gonna want to know who I picked.
All right, so I have my camera.
Or Ryan.
Hopefully, you guys can see. I do have the wheel with our names on it: Tyler, myself, Valentino, and JP. So I'm going to spin the wheel and see who gets to pick first. And it is going to be Tyler.
Dover, Hendricks, but honestly, I'm going to go with last year's winner, Martin Truex Jr.
All right. Hang on, let me get that wrote down real quick.
Dover's always been a good track for Truex.
Martin.
He got his first Truex career win there, too.
Jr. All right. Spinning the wheel again. Three names left, and it is going to be Valentino.
Mr. Chase Elliott this weekend.
All right.
And you?
All right. So it's down to me and JP. And it's going to be... Ooh, it's right on the line. I am going to spin it again. Literally, it landed like right on the halfway mark.
We're going on two names.
It is JP.
All right. So, my pick is probably going to surprise you guys. But my pick happens to be... Let's take a gamble. And the gamble is going to be Ty Gibbs.
All right.
That's going to be pissed.
All right. So one name left, but I'm going to spin it just to make sure it lands on my name. And yep, it did. So I am going to pick the 48 of Alex Bowman.
It is true. I was there in 2021 when he won, when Hendrick went 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep. I almost was able to go to that race, and I was mad that I didn't get to go. But I will get everyone else's picks through Messenger and text messages and stuff, and we'll get them locked in for Dover. But as always, big thank you to our sponsors, Century PC, Sleafs, Fanatics, W Energy, Bulletproof Coffee, and Duke Cannon.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Yep, thank you for sponsoring this podcast. Yep. Be sure to click on those sponsor links in our podcast description. You can get all sorts of stuff, Fanatics. You can get your 2024 NASCAR apparel if you haven't got it yet, and all the other stuff. But, you know, as always.
Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Well, thank you again for the Alkali Project. Yeah. Thank you so much for their music.
Alkali Project.
Yep, they're doing some great stuff over there. But as always, I'm Greg and Valentino, Tyler, and JP. We are signing off. This has been the Lap Down Podcast, and we will see you guys after Dover.
Dover, let's go.
Deuces.
Deuces.